You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So we're making, or we're proposing, four changes to post-study work rights. One is to get rid of the employer-assisted visa. That's the one that requires former students to demonstrate that they are working in an area that is relevant to their study. Unfortunately, that particular visa has been ripe for exploitation, and we want to bring that exploitation to an end. For students studying at degree level or higher, they will continue to get 3 years of post-study work rights, but that will be an open visa. They'll be able to work in any area, in any industry, doing any job for 3 years after they finish studying. For students who have studied at below degree level, that post-study work right will be reduced to 1 year. So they'll have a 1 year open work visa. A couple of other changes that we're making. One is to make it a requirement that people have studied in New Zealand for at least 2 years before they get access to any post-study work rights. And finally, for people who are studying at a very high level, PhD level, for instance, and they are studying an area which is on one of New Zealand's skill shortage lists, they will be able to bring their partner and their children, and their children will be able to get access to the New Zealand public school system. We really want to encourage those people to come and study in New Zealand and support them to settle. So we're putting a couple of things in place to make that easier for them.
So essentially these are mechanisms of support for people that are looking for high-level skill work.
That's right. We really want to make it clear that if people want to move from studying in New Zealand to being able to work and ultimately get residency in New Zealand, that the pathway for doing that is to study at a high level, study at degree level or higher, and to study skills that are in demand in New Zealand. Obviously, there are some skills which are actually trained at sub-degree level, at diploma or certificate level, and if those skills that people acquire through studying in New Zealand are skills that are in demand in New Zealand, then they'll be able to apply for other visas, such as the essential skills visa. But we want to make it clear to people that they should be coming to New Zealand to get a good quality education, and to study at the highest level that they can, because that's what will set them up for success, whether it's here in New Zealand or elsewhere in the world.
I mean, we're based at university, and it's well known that international students pay a lot of money and don't really have a good time, usually. How does this make a difference for them?
Well, we certainly hope that this makes things more straightforward for students, especially those students who are studying at university level. They will be able to get much easier access to work when they finish studying in New Zealand. So, we're hopeful that this will mean an improved outcome for those students, so that they do have a good experience when they come to New Zealand. Yeah, a lot of people who study at university level actually do go home, or they go to another part of the world, take their skills and contribute those in another part of the world. We want them to have had a really great experience in New Zealand to be ambassadors for New Zealand, because international education isn't just about getting people to come and study here and spend money here. It's also about New Zealand students being able to make linkages with people from around the world and people from across the globe, getting an experience of New Zealand and taking the New Zealand story to the rest of the world. That's obviously very important for us as a small trading nation. So, yes, we do hope that this improves the experience for people studying in New Zealand.
And just that first change you mentioned, the employer-based visa, that's the one that you said is most rife for exploitation. How will you crack down on that?
Well, so what we're doing is we're removing that. So that the exploitation has come about where students have sought to find a role which is recognised by Immigration New Zealand as relevant to their course of study. Some unscrupulous employers have said, look, we'll enhance your job description, we'll make it look as though your job is relevant to your area of study, we'll even make it look as though you're working at a more senior level than what you actually are. And then what they require in return for that is some pretty significant payments. And the story I hear really often is, on payday, the migrant worker is marched down to the ATM, they take a huge amount of money out of their bank account and pay it directly back to the employer. That's the kind of exploitation that we've seen. So by removing that requirement to be sponsored by a particular employer and to demonstrate that you're working in an area which is relevant to your course of study,
you remove that opportunity for employers to exploit their workers in that way. I would say, though, that overwhelmingly the evidence shows that people who study at degree level or higher do use their qualifications. They do go into areas that are relevant to their course of study. And so we don't need to be concerned that people aren't going to be using their skills if we remove that employer-assisted requirement.
Awesome. Good workplace relations. Let's just segue into that.
Yep.
You made an announcement regarding fair pay agreements. What does this mean?
So we've established a group to do the critical design work on fair pay agreements. Fair pay agreements are essentially a form of industry-level bargaining. So unions will be able to bargain with employers to set minimum standards of pay and other employment conditions that will apply across an entire occupation or across an entire industry. That's a significant change for our industrial relations framework in New Zealand. And we do want to take some time to get this right. And we want to make sure that all the relevant voices are represented at the table when we're doing this work. So we'll have Business New Zealand at the table. We'll also have the Council of Trade Unions. We'll have small business representation. And we'll also have experts in, from the academic world, from the economic world, who will be able to look at the way this is done all around the world. New Zealand is actually very unusual in the developed world for not having a form of industry-wide bargaining. So they'll be able to look at how this is done around the world and design a system which is fit for purpose for us here in New Zealand. As I say, this represents a significant change. The opposition have said quite loudly that they are opposed to it. I think if we're going to get this right and if we're going to make sure that this is an enduring change to our employment relations framework, we do have to take the time and work alongside business to get it right.
And when can we expect those changes to be implemented?
Yes, so I've asked the group to come back with recommendations by the end of this year. I acknowledge that's fairly ambitious, but I do want to get on with this work. Once we have those recommendations, I'll be able to get to work on drafting legislation. I anticipate that legislation will be before Parliament early next year. The legislative process usually takes about a year, so I'd say we're about a year and a half away from the first opportunity to initiate for a fair pay agreement. That's probably as quick as we can reasonably expect to do it if we're going to do it properly.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.